Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are considering an allegiance to God's Word as we study Genesis chapters 1 through 11. In this session, we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 to 17, the covenant of the rainbow. As we have indicated on all other sessions, we will be reading the entirety of Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 11 as we consider each of these sessions. Let's begin by reading in chapter 8 and verse 1. And let's read on and let's get a good look at this whole situation after the flood. Genesis chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind pass over the earth and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. And then the ark rested on the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And the water decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark with him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. And then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return to him again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. And then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. And then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And then the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." Covenant is a type of agreement between two parties in which the initiator establishes the requirements and also bears the primary responsibility for causing the covenant's fulfillment. The accepting party commits to a particular response. And there are essentially seven major covenants in the Bible. There's the Adamic covenant, which was enjoyment of the garden, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. There's the Noahic covenant, that the earth is safe, which is what we're talking about here, from another flood, Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. There's the Abrahamic covenant, occupancy of the land that God is giving, Genesis 15, 18. There's the Mosaic covenant, favor from God by obedience to the law for God's people, Israel. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Then there's the Levitic covenant, the priesthood to remain in the tribe, Numbers 25, verse 13. The Davidic covenant, that his kingdom and throne are established forever in line. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. And then the Messianic covenant, the millennial establishment in the land, Jeremiah 32, and verse 40. And then there's the new covenant, mentioned in Isaiah 42, and verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. And then a little bit later on in Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. The first actual mention of the word covenant in the Bible is in relation to Noah and the flood. Genesis 6:18, again, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. That's sort of a promissory note for later. And then look at Genesis chapter 9. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand, Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely, for your life blood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Let's just look for a moment at God's covenant with Noah and his seed and consider a couple of things from verses 8 to 17 of Genesis chapter 9. First, there's the announcement of the covenant, verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." Notice several things about God's covenant. God enjoys dealing with man. Verse 9. Demonstrates his favor, pronounces his devotion. "As for me," God initiates all covenants. Second part of verse 9. "Behold, I establish." Listen, he's the greater party who's capable of fulfilling it, not Noah and his descendants. God makes covenants secure. Verse 11, "Never again." Listen, he's the creator of the universe. He can keep his covenant. God extends his promises to descendants. The third part of verse 9, "With you and with your descendants after you." Listen, God includes those who don't even choose it. Verse 10, "Every living creature that is with you." Do you understand the power of God's word? God spoke it before into the ark, and he fulfilled it after, out of the ark, even though he knew wickedness recurs. God's grace. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you." Chapter 9, verse 9. "As for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you." Chapter 6, verse 19. "And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female." Chapter 9, verse 10. "And with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth." Chapter 6, verse 17. "And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die." And then chapter 9, verse 11. "Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." So God took Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives into the ark to protect them because he's going to destroy the whole earth. After he brought them out, he made a covenant and promised that he would never destroy by a flood again, even though he knew that man would continue to sin as he had opportunity. And then second, so God announced the covenant. But then second, He gave an assurance of the covenant. Look at verse 12 of chapter 9. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant, which I will make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations, I will set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." Those two words, sign and covenant. It's confirmation of the deal with a token, a rainbow. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchanging essence of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Think about that rainbow. It's a bow without string, without arrow. And it points toward heaven, not toward earth. It appears immediately after a storm. It sharpens with heavier clouds. It manifests in partial clearings, mercy in the midst of wrath. It reflects the rays of the sun, the glory of the sun. It reveals fiery colors as well. Final judgment by fire. God states that the rainbow is a reminder of covenant to God of his promise and to man for faith and faithfulness. Even our children benefit. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7. I will establish my covenant between you, between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And then third is the affirmation of the covenant. Verse 17. And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the rainbow covenant, and you can trust God to keep it. He kept his promise to Abraham of Messiah and of the land. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In death, we're reduced to the same level. Neither wealth nor fame can open the way to salvation, but only God's grace given to those who will humbly acknowledge their need. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 make it clear. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God has always been the initiator of covenants. The question is, have you responded to the covenant of grace by putting your trust in Jesus by faith for eternal life? You think about all that, and you have a great day.